Okay, well, God bless you, everyone, and thank you, Bob. I'm gonna go back before the 40 days, a little bit before the 40
Good
days,
deal.
because we didn't really cover about Jesus Christ, his burial, and you are all very special. God said that in the manifestations, and there's some very special people that we're going to meet tonight. First, I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14. And this was a verse that was shared on Sunday. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also. So, we're going to meet some of the other us's here in this sharing. I think it is amazing that we are actually going to meet them face to face, along with our risen Lord and Savior, and maybe tonight. So, and I'm going to be using Jesus Christ or Passover. I just printed out the pages instead of the book. And I'll probably need you to help me read some verses because, you know, my voice gets tired. Anyway, in the sections I'm going to share, there's going to be two earthquakes, two rich Sanhedrin men, two Marys, and three angels. And we know that we can also have encounters with angels. It tells us that in Hebrews 13:2. And aren't they amazing? Please keep in mind any encounters that you would like to share about with angels that you've had, and we'll share them at the end of the teaching. So we're going to mainly stay in Matthew chapter 27. You can go there, Matthew 27. And we're going to start in verse 51. Matthew 27, 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. So there's our first earthquake. In verse 50 it says, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. So this is what happened when he yielded up the ghost. And like when Al shared Monday on the temple, you were talking about the temple and how only certain people could go into the Holy of Holies. Well, this is when that changed. You know, the veil was rent. So, let's go to... Oh, I wanted to read this. The earthquake was so astounding that the Roman centurion in charge of the soldiers guarding the crosses at Calvary was convinced by this that Jesus was in truth the Son of God. And you can read that in verse 54. You want to read that, Leslie?
Certainly. Now when the centurion and they that were watching him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God.
Amen. So now we're going to go to verse 55. And here's where we find out about the two women, 55 and 56.
Want me to keep reading?
Sure.
Okay. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children.
Okay. So Mary Magdalene is actually, that means where she's from. And there's a town that's in, can pass this around, that's by the Sea of Galilee. And it's called Magdala. And it's very near Nazareth. You can see it's very near Nazareth. And so that's where she was from. And Mary Magdalene was the woman who was healed of seven devils. So, and the other Mary, it's speculated that that Mary was the mother of some apostles, James and John. And that she actually was Jesus' aunt. There's a, anyway, some scholar says that could be Jesus' aunt. So it would have been Jesus' Mother Mary's sister. So that's pretty interesting. While God's word does not specifically name any men present at the crucifixion, it does take special note of the women who were there. It is remarkable that while most of the disciples had scattered, these faithful women remained with Jesus even up to the time of his burial by Joseph of Arimathea. Now, Joseph and Arimathea is also on that map. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, recognize that guy? Are the two active participants in burying Jesus. Except for Jesus' burial, Joseph of Arimathea is mentioned in no other biblical record. Nicodemus is mentioned in only two other places. John 3, remember what that was about? Jesus came and visited him and taught him about being born again. As we shall see, each man worked independently of the other, one with the idea of this. I thought this was really interesting. One man worked independently, they worked independently. Jesus, one with the idea that Jesus was temporarily dead, and the other believing that Jesus was to remain in his lifeless condition. Some of the women also desired to carry out certain burial customs for their dead master, but they were not able to do so because of time factors, because it was the Passover and you weren't allowed to, you know, deal with dead bodies and all that. And also there were guards placed at the sepulcher. So Matthew 27:57. You want to read that, Bob?
When the evening was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, another way to pronounce it, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth.
And verse 60.
And laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed.
One question which this verse provokes is, why should Joseph of
Arimathea
have a tomb or a sepulcher, that word I'm going to have to change it to, in Jerusalem next to the place where criminals were executed? After all, Joseph was from Arimathea. You guys are telling me. A town 25 miles away. This just doesn't make sense. unless we accept the idea that this particular sepulcher or tomb was a memorial specifically prepared by Joseph at this accessible location so that it might be the burying place or tomb for Jesus.
Wow.
Notice that there was no anointing, there were no spices used, there was no wrapping in grave clothes. And in verse 61, you want to read that one?
And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher.
Okay. The women who were present observed everything that was done by Joseph, including the fact he was not burying Jesus according to Judean custom. And this is really awesome. All the actions of Joseph of Arimathea indicate that burial rites were unnecessary, for he believed Jesus Christ would not remain dead.
Yeah.
I know. But rise again as he had promised. Joseph was not simply a casual pupil of Jesus, but a convinced follower.
Mm-hmm.
And he also was a Sanhedrin. Mm-hmm. He was one of the religious leaders there.
Mm.
Okay. After Joseph and the women had departed from the garden, Nicodemus and his servants came to the sepulcher, properly wrapped the body in grave clothes with spices, and buried Jesus according to custom.
Mm-hmm.
And I read one little thing that Nicodemus was also a very rich man. And so when he brought the spices, he brought over 70 pounds extra spices. To take care of the body. However, since Nicodemus, was not planning on a resurrection within a few days, that's why he did that.
Mm-hmm.
In contrast to all others, Joseph was unique in that he was the only person prepared for both the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
I'd like to meet that guy.
Yeah.
Joseph's actions confirmed his belief in the Lord's teaching that he would rise 3 days and three nights after being buried.
Oh,
yeah. So now we go to verse 62. Yeah.
Now, the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate.
In 63.
Saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again.
Mm-hmm.
Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night mm-hmm. and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first.
Mm-hmm.
Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, stealing the stone and setting the watch.
Yeah, and notice in verse 62, that who was it that asked that? The Pharisees.
Pharisees, chief priests and Pharisees.
It wasn't like just the Romans or anybody. It was the religious leaders. So.
The chief priests as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I'm going to repeat here. The religious leaders had requested a watch until the third day. Thus, this meant that the tomb would be secured and guarded at least for the 15th, 16th, and 17th. We understand why no disciples would be able to enter the sepulchre to anoint the body until at least sometime Sunday the 18th. These are the ones recorded on the 15th, the special Sabbath, the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. On the next day, the women made some preparations. So that would be the Mary and Mary. The two Mary, Mary, Mary. So, well, we already know that Jesus, Matthew 28:1 says that in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, which would be the sunset, toward the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake. Mm-hmm. There's the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it.
Mm-hmm.
His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men.
Mm-hmm.
And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. So the women whose purpose in coming was to see, to gaze on the sepulchre or tomb. They were not intending to see the body or to anoint the body, only to view the sepulchre. Since the guards were there and the sepulchre was sealed with the Roman seal, the women would not have been permitted into the temple. So when the angel sat on the stone, it made it literally impossible for anyone to put the stone back. So that was, I think that's the first angel.
That's great.
So first, and then we saw the angel was like, countenance was like lightning, and the keepers became as dead men. Now we're going to go to John, chapter 20. And can I read verse 1?
Sure. John 21. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away our Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Keep going.
No, that's okay. Peter, so then she went and told Peter, and Peter went to see that Jesus' body wasn't there. When they came back and saw the empty tomb, and the wrappings that were where Jesus had been wrapped were undisturbed, and that was a big hint that wasn't like somebody just
mm-hmm.
took them
unwrapped
away. The other disciples believed that Jesus had been risen from the dead because of that. And the Passover, Mary Magdalene had come by herself to the sepulchre, arriving well before sunrise. She had the aid of a nearly full moon. And Passover was always at the full moon.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to go to verse 10 and 11. You want to read those? You're close to the
20, 10?
10 and 11.
Verse 10 and 11. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeing two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and at the other the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain.
Okay.
And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said thus, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus.
Keep going. Yeah, but stop there, yeah. So she saw the two angels, but she mistook them for men.
Mm-hmm.
So angels can look like ordinary men.
Mm-hmm.
And there usually are men in the Bible. And this is the first time two angels are mentioned, and they're inside the tomb. So when she saw Jesus standing there and knew not that it was Jesus. So verses 15 through 17.
Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself around and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master.
Amen. That's what I wanted to share. Because we're going to go on
with
the rest of the story. And I thought that was pretty fascinating.
That was really good.
Very good.